last time I had issues with the printer. I actually just got it working at home. I just got it to work, and I'm like, you know what, you know how you have to put something to the side for a minute because it aggravates you and it's still your peace and your joy? I had to put that printer to the side for about almost a month because it was still in my peace because I couldn't figure out what was going on. Glory to God. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Whew. We feel your presence here, Father. Thank you for your angels that are here as well. Have your way, as Patty said. Have your way. Come on down. Sit with us. Dwell with us. Have your way. Minister to us in ways that only you can. You know our needs. You know our hearts. You know our desires. We let go. We're letting go, and we're letting you. Have your way in this place. I bind and we bind every scheme, attack, and assignment that the enemy has sent to come against this service tonight. Every scheme, attack, and assignment he has sent to come against your children, your people, Father. We bind that right now and we lose peace. Hallelujah. We lose joy. We lose healing. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Have your way, all of you and none of me. Hallelujah. Speak through me, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Patty, the songs that you selected, I know it was God, you've been led by the Spirit. And thank you so much for always being led by the Spirit with the songs that you select for us to sing. And that's a blessing for you to be so connected to the Spirit of God. And you hear him. Because you're willing to hear him. You're obedient. So thank you for that, because they aligned directly with my message. And I wanted to, normally I would tell you that after service, but I wanted to tell you that where it can be recorded so you'll know. And the songs you selected, it did align with the message tonight. So thank you, Patty. Thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit with your song selection. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the word that you gave Sunday, let go, you have no idea how strong that word was, that I've had to use it this week. Because, you know, normally the enemy, he's funny and he get on my nerves, okay? He tried to attack me with headaches sometimes. Didn't have a headache this week. Not at all. Praise God, and I thank God for that. But he tried other distractions. Starting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and today, he had a distraction every single day. But I recognized it, and that's what we need to recognize it. It's not the people. We got to look, and pastors taught a message a few years back. You got to look at the spirit behind it. And that's what we were doing on the way. I took two of my grands to school this morning, and I love that time. I'm way off track here. But anyway, Jesse called me, and he went to get his cappuccino on the way to school this morning, and his truck wouldn't come out of gear, out of park, into reverse or drive, whichever direction he was going, and he called. I said, I said, nope. I said, just leave it alone. Sit there for a few minutes. I said, you got plenty of time. That's why you left early. You got plenty of time. I said, it's okay. I said, I'll call you back. So, I mean, the kids started praying. I needed some kid prayers, okay? But we started praying, and before I could call him, he called me back. He said, I'm on my way to school. The devil does not win. He doesn't. And I was watching what I said first.
Amen.
See, we're listening. I was watching what I said first. When he first called me, I was just quiet. Like, okay, all right. I said, it's all good, Jess. I said, you're going to be to work on time. I said, it's all good. I said, it's going to go in gear. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. And it was. It was all good. Amen. It was all good. Glory to God. But then the devil, he got another slap. He got another slap. He got another black eye. Glory to God. Well, the title of my message is Don't Consider the Circumstances. Amen. Faith Like Abraham. That's the title of the message this evening, tonight. And we're going to start with Romans 4. 19 through 21. I actually only have two scriptures tonight. Woo! But we're going to go deep into those scriptures, okay? So Romans 4, verses 19 through 21. In the Passion Version, it says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promises, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God. His faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the facts. Facts can lead you to a lie.
That's right.
Facts is fact, and we need facts. But facts can lead you to a lie. But the truth of the matter here is God is faithful. He knew God was mighty. He was convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises. So we want to be recognized as someone with Patty was so strong that she could not be undermined by the fact of fill in the blanks. I'm just saying, Bonnie was so strong that she could not be undermined by the fact that fill in the blanks. Faith like Abraham, that strong faith. And he glorified God before it happened. The New Living Translation. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. He was convinced, fully convinced, not a percent. He was 100% convinced that God will do, is able to do whatever he promised. We need to get there.
Amen.
We need
Amen.
To get there.
Amen.
That we be fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. The Living Bible. I think the other one was the New Living Translation. This is the Living Bible. And because his faith was strong, he didn't worry about the fact that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100, and that Sarah, his wife at 90, was also much too old to have a baby. But that eliminates everything before that, okay? But Abraham never doubted. He believed God, for his faith and trust grew even stronger, and he praised God for his blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was able to do anything that he promised. He never doubted. He believed God. He believed God. And he praised God for this blessing before it even happened. What are you believing God for? Have you praised him for before it happened? What are we believing God for? For our families, for jobs, or what have you. Even if it's something like, I want to go on vacation and I want it all paid for. God can do it.
Amen.
He's done it for pastors. I'm just saying. Glory to God. The Message Version. I like this. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously skeptical questions.
That's good. Oh, that's good.
I'm going to let sit there for a second. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. Well, God, you know, if, you know, by chance. No. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made for us, fit for God, set us right with God. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking crazy questions. He didn't tiptoe. He plunged. I thought when I read that, I thought about like a diving board, yet, you know, the real high diving board. That's what I pictured. He's at a high diving board, and he was like, all right, Lord. All right, God. I'm diving in. That's what I pictured. And he just went free falling. He plunged. He plunged into the promise. We got a pool of promises, y'all. Get on the diving board. Let's get on that diving board. We have a swimming pool. We have an ocean full of promises. Let's plunge into the promises of God. You know, and we as Christians, I ain't talking about the world. We're talking about Christian folks, us, okay? We focus on the wrong thing when it comes to the things of God and his promises to us, his children. We are his children. We trust the utility companies. We trust the mobile phone companies. We trust all of these companies that to keep things going when we pay them. Because they ain't just going to keep it going. But God keep things going even when we don't give our tithes and offerings. And I didn't say pay. I said give. But he keeps waking us up in the mornings. He keeps doing that. But you got to pay the utility company. But we trust them. We trust it. We trust to come into this building that it's going to be, well, it ain't going to be hot. Never. Not with our pastors. So, like, we wrapped up in coats and blankets and up in here now. So, I'm just saying, and they got on short sleeves. And I almost did just wear my t-shirt. I'm like, nah. Pastor Rock and Pastor Sharon, my pastors. I need to put a jacket on. That was just a little side journey. But we expect to come up here and be comfortable. I'm just saying, we expect the lights to come on when we come into the building, into the house of God, into the church. We expect those things. We trust that, but we don't trust God. We need to give glory to God for all things before they manifest.
That's right.
So if you are expecting and believing God for a spouse, thank him for it in advance. Believe him for it. Praise him in advance. This is what Abraham did per the scriptures that I just read, and I believe it. I believe it. I believe this is another key to unlock the promises of God. Praise him before it happens. Praise him before it manifests. Give him praise. Break out in a praise dance. Do what you do. Praise him before it happens. Praise him. Abraham was fully persuaded about what God promised him, fully persuaded. He knew God was able to perform it. And in Kenneth Hagin's book, he emphasized the phrase strong faith. He emphasized that. And I want to read it. He said, it says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. That's what the Bible calls faith. Are you fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able to perform? That whatever he has promised in his word, he can do? If your answer is yes, then you are half strong in faith. This is half of it. The second half requires you to answer to this question. Can you give glory to God? Can you praise God? Can you say, thank you, Father, for your promise? If your answer is yes again, then you are strong in faith. It's not just believing. You've got to give him the glory. You've got to believe that he's going to do what he said that he's going to do. It all works together. It all works together. You have to believe that. And so just to paraphrase that in Wanda's terms, believing is one part of having strong faith, but giving God the glory is the second part to solidify your faith. And we need and we should just trust God too much to give up. We need and we should trust God too much, so much, to give up. Because he's not giving up on us, no matter how far we stray away, how far we have strayed away. He hasn't given up on us. He always had a ram in the bush, whether we saw it or not. He always had a ram in the bush. He always made a way of escape for us, whether we took it or not. He always have. And when I look back at different points in my life when I strayed away, I look at ways that he had had that ram in the bush, you know, made a way for me to escape, and I just took the other direction. So he does that. That's how much he loves us. So we can't give up on him because he has not given up on us. He has not given up on us. Philippians 4 and 6. The Message version is going to be 6 and 7. That's what I'm reading first. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Have you ever just felt that peace when something has, and we're human, we've worried before, but then when you let go, and then that sense of just that peace, and like they say, peace is not the absence of trouble, peace is just the presence of God. Because the trouble is there, but you're not focusing on that trouble. You just have that peace of God that comes over you. Now, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be okay. Glory to God. Another version says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. Again, thanking him and praising him in advance. That's why I say the songs that Patty did just aligned with the message. It truly did. The Amplified version, don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Yes, God knows our heart. He does. But we need to tell him what's on our heart. Tell him our needs. Tell him our concerns. Just like, you know, as a parent, we know what our children need for the most part. We do. But we want them to come to us and ask us, tell us about it. But we know for the most part, why is God no different? He knows, but we still got to come to him and be specific in the request. You know, I remember when I was pregnant with Jessica, when I found out it was a girl, which I was so happy. And I prayed about her hair, okay? Because I don't know how to do hair. So I said, you know what, Lord? I want her hair a little bit like my grandmother. My grandmother had the most beautiful hair. I said, I want her hair a little bit like my grandmother's, but not as fine, a little bit like Tamika's, but not as curly. I said, but I really don't want a little bit like mine. Jessica got 3 different textures of hair. I was not specific. I think about that now. My child has 3 different textures of hair. I would think, you know, God, he could put that together. You know, I'm telling you, the people, I want you to make the hair light. Put it together. She got 3 different textures of hair. Goodness gracious. We need to be specific in our prayer life. And I remember Ms. Jim made it known to me about petition. She made that known to me and had some CDs, actually, about petitioning. And the Bible is real meticulous about saying by prayer and petition. So, you know, not enough time to go into that. But we need to look into that. There are certain things that we need to petition
Amen.
God on.
Amen.
We need to petition. And thank you, Ms. Jim, for dropping that knowledge on me. I appreciate that. A few years ago, I appreciate that. I still have those CDs. Thank you. But petition, there are things that we need to petition God for. The King James Version says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving, with thankfulness, with gratefulness, praising him, thanking him, giving him glory before it actually manifests. The scripture says that we just skip over certain things and not realizing it. The scripture tells us what we do. You know, when we finish praying about something, we should and we need to thank God for what we have prayed about. Don't get up from prayer in doubt and fear, but joy and peace, knowing God will do what he promised, like Abraham. Have that strong faith, like Abraham. He didn't consider his circumstances. He didn't consider that at all. He did not consider that. And Kenneth E. Hagin mentioned in his book about our thought process, you know, he stated that we must think faith thoughts along with speaking faith words to guide our hearts from the land of the defeat into the land of God's promise, into the land God promised us, victory, the land of victory, because we win. At the end of it all, we win. We have the victory. And I want to read something in particular. Put myself a little notes on here. Do not accept defeat. Do not be denied. It is your family right, your redemptive right, to have what God has promised. It is yours now. So accept it, and it will become a reality. Why do we as Christians think that we don't deserve certain things? Jesus was not poor. People think that Jesus was poor, and they think they got to live this poor life with this poor mentality. Jesus was not poor. He could not have gotten in some places that he did if he didn't have no moolah. He had to have some gold. And when the wise men came, they brought him all kind of dough, okay? And some oil. Do you know how much frankincense oil cost? That's some expensive oil. That's why when the woman broke the oil on Jesus, I was like, hey, that's like a year's wages. What is you doing, woman? That's why they did that. And all of this oil was brought to Jesus. They brought him a lot of money. God ordered those wise men steps.
That's right.
Because he knew, God knew, in this world, you need it. Uh-huh. Even though he is the Son of God, uh-huh. but he walked in this place as a man.
That's
right. So why don't we think, Christians think that money is not evil? The love of it is evil.
Yeah.
The love of money. Money is not. Money is just paper. Mm-hmm. Money itself is not either. The love of it.
Right.
When you start loving money over God, that's where you got some issues.
Right.
But Jesus was not poor. Okay, that was a side journey. He was not poor. Also, Kenneth E. Hagin mentioned in the book, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost, a quote from Smith Wigglesworth. He said, if you pray seven times for any one thing, you pray six times in unbelief. Wow. When I read this, I was like, forgive me, Father. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. How many times have we done it? How many times have I done this? Prayed the same thing over and over again instead of just praising him for what I've already prayed for if I've prayed the right way. If I prayed the right way. You know, praying it over and over again, the same way, thinking God didn't hear it the first time. Like I said, as long as I prayed it the the right way. And there was another lesson I taught about the different, how praying, you know, we pray if it's God's, we pray, people pray, if it's God's will for me to be healed. No, that's not an if. That's not an if. That's a promise. That's not an if. Now, if I should get this job, if I should take this job, if I should move to this city, right, if I should marry this person, that's an if.
That's an if.
So we need to see how we're praying while we keep going back to the throne for the same thing. You're not getting any answers. Now, God does delay different things. He delays some things because we may not be ready. He delays things because we may not be ready. But we need to check out how we're praying and if we're praying God's word. We need to check that out. And let's see here. And he also, Kenneth E. Hagin also mentioned a quote from Andrew Murray, who was, I've never heard of him before. He was a pastor, a writer, and a teacher in the 1800s and the early 1900s. And he said, "It is not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. If, when you do pray again, what you've prayed for hasn't materialized, don't pray for it again the same way, because that would be unbelief. Remind God that you have already asked for it and what his word says, and tell him that you're expecting it and thank him for it." People say, "Well, I just can't tell God I'm expecting it." We can. He said in his word. He's told us this in his word. "Lord, this is what you said in your word. You said if I train my child up in the way that they should go, that when they're older, it would not depart from them. So, Lord, I'm believing and I'm expecting that to happen." Go boldly to the throne of grace. Go boldly. But that's if you got a relationship.
That's right.
If you ain't got a relationship, you can't go bold.
That's right.
You can't go bold to the throne. You can't. Because you're timid. Because you don't have that relationship with him. You don't have that relationship, so you can't go boldly. And while I was researching and looking up Andrew Murray to see who he was, I came across a few other quotes. He has some very profound quotes, okay? A few other quotes for him that pertain to the message here. And he said, "Answered prayers," I love this, "is the interchange of love between the father and his child." Love that. Answered prayers is the interchange of love between the father and his child. Glory to God. He also stated, "God cannot hear the prayers on our lips often because the desires of our heart after the world cry out to him more strongly and loudly than our desires for him." Woo! Talk about a spanking. So let's not allow the desires of this world that is temporary cry out louder than our desires for our Father in heaven, God. So let's check our hearts. Got to do a heart check. And he also, another quote, "We must begin to believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with a force that can move the heavenly world and can bring his power down to earth." Do we realize how much power we have in prayer? As a Christian, we have so much power that we haven't even tapped into. And for some of us, sadly, don't even believe we have. Do we really believe God at his word, his promises? Abraham did without wavering. I'll get it out. And what God promised manifested to him, because he believed God. His faith was strong. He didn't tiptoe around the promises of God. He didn't do that. And while I was typing this message, and Patty, you were like this, while I was typing this message up last night, God dropped this song in my heart, and we sing it here. And I just had to remind the enemy of, you know, all the little distractions he kept bringing to me these past few days. And I was sitting there, and I started crying, and I was singing, and I'm going to try to sing this. And it was, "Give God the glory. Give God the glory. Give God the glory, and He will give you, and He will give you, and He will give you the victory. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. So let us give God. So let us give God. So let us give God all of our praise. Hallelujah. I just kept singing that over and over and over as I was typing. It was just awesome. I'm like, God, you are so good. You are so good. And I thanked Him. I thanked Him for what I had been believing for, especially yesterday. Yesterday was a rough day. But I was believing God, trusting Him for His promises, what He said. And He just dropped this song, and it was awesome. You know, we cannot look at what we're going through or facing and not to ignore it, whatever that it may be in your life, but don't focus on it.
That's right.
It can't be the center of our attention. We can't focus on it. Anything we see can be changed. It's temporary. We must focus and magnify our God, not the issue or the problem. Because it will consume us. It will kill us if we allow it. Let's be consumed by the word of God like Abraham and not consider the circumstances. Faith like Abraham. And I'm going to end with this. In Kenneth E. Hagin's book, in your waking moments, think on the greatness of God and His goodness. Count your blessings. Lift your heart to God constantly in gratitude and increasing praise for what He has done and for what He is doing for you now. And that's the end of the message. But Pastor, I felt it last night, and when I came in, I felt it as well, about leading people. If you do not have a relationship with God, and or you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, or if you've wandered off, God's waiting for you.
Amen.
This is the perfect time to do this. You can drop us a note in the comments. You can text or call the number that Christy mentioned earlier. Mr. Ish will get it. If you need prayer, do the same. Drop us a comment. We love to pray. We are a church that loves to pray, and we would pray for you. God loves you so much. Don't give up. God loves you. Don't ever, ever forget that. He loves you. What we see is temporary. It can be changed. God's word never changes. Believe His promises. Glory to God. Glory to God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.